Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 3. In verse 14, the Word of God says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, that we press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. Nowadays, we seem to be increasingly in the States, and also, I think, in the West, and particularly generally in the West, we're beginning to have a culture of immaturity. Immaturity, when it becomes prevalent in the culture, when it permeates the culture, starts to affect things like political thinking, political action, starts to affect things like policy. When it becomes personalized within the culture, it also leads to things like violence, self-centered action, intolerance. And we see a great deal of this happening in our society today. One side is always blaming the other and saying, you're to blame, you're to blame. When the fact of the matter is that the issue is not an individual, the issue is that we are dealing with a culture of immaturity. A culture of immaturity is incredibly dangerous. Essentially, you have children running nations. And this is not the first time that this has taken place. And when I say that, I'm not pointing toward any particular individual, and I'm not pointing toward any particular political party. Don't mistake my statements for being political. They are not. What I am saying is that people who are affected, and in some cases cater to that culture, are also running nations. I'm not even saying that this is every nation, but I think it happens far too frequently. The root of this is in the level of maturity that takes place in the culture. It's becoming lower and lower and lower. Really, for what's going on right now, I heard recently someone blaming what happened about 20 years ago. This goes back 20 years. No, it actually goes back a lot farther than this. For example, the political animosity that we see, this is nothing new. And this does not go back 20 years. In the early 1800s, you had some very vile accusations against candidates, things that people would be just aghast even today over the suggestion of them. And those are accusations that people were making in public against candidates, extremely personal, extremely dishonest, and extremely vile accusations. This is nothing new. Yet at the same time, it is a form of immaturity. We're going to have one of two things. As individuals and as a culture and as a nation, we will have one of two things. We will either possess the character of Christ, or we will have a crisis of maturity. Maturity crises are not new. Maturity crises on all levels are not new. North Korea, in my opinion, is a perfect example of a maturity crisis. The things that that lunatic has done to the people in that country, he was selected by his father over his older brother, who really should have been the leader of that country, but his father felt that his brother was not vicious enough. That's what I read in a very reputable news source. And they're saying that this is why he was chosen. Yet at the same time, he was a really spoiled kid. He grew up in Switzerland. He went to school in Switzerland. And he was something of a bratty kid. Now he is something of a bratty leader. Here's the thing about that. Crises of maturity will come where there is a lack of the character of God. Because it is only the character of God in me that can overcome human immaturity. If we have enough people who lack the character of God, then this situation will permeate into the society, into the culture, into the political aspects of that society, really into everything. One of the things that I think really illustrates it is how many people, at least in this country, I can't speak to every country, but I don't think that we're unusual in this, are in immense debt. How many people are tens of thousands of dollars, for example, in credit card debt? Well, it turns out that the average American carries a multi-thousand dollar credit card debt pretty much all the time. Our country is getting close to $20 trillion in debt. Before long, we will not be able to even pay the interest on that debt. But our country is not alone in that. There's other countries who are far worse in that. China has a monstrous debt, and yet they're the ones who own everybody else's debt, it seems. When one company like AIG has an issue where they have to pay out too much, the global economy takes a nosedive, like what happened 8-9 years ago. Why is it that people are willing to live in such debt? Because they say, I want it and I want it now. Why is it that governments are willing to live with such debt? Because the leadership in government says, we want it and we want it now. Give us our candy. You see, this is a kind of a global immaturity, or at least regional immaturity. National type of immaturity. And now we are entering the point of a severe crisis of maturity in our country, but not only in our country, in other countries also. Why? Because we've stepped away from the character of Christ. Now, in my view, this is the responsibility of the Christians. The non-Christians are not capable of having the character of Christ, but the Christians are the ones who hold back the judgment of God. It's a character of Christ problem. Why are fewer and fewer pulpits still preaching the concrete Word of God? Absolutely unhindered, the full counsel of the Word of God, not picking a preference here or a preference there. Why are so many pulpits staying on a devotional level in their messages instead of making it very rich, instead of really teaching and preaching the Word of God with their whole heart, with everything in them? And yet this is not taking place. And people will admit to you that it's not taking place. You interview these people and they say it's not taking place, and they'll give you the reasons why. Why they don't do it. Why is it that one of the most famous preachers in the country gets on national television and they ask him point blank, is Jesus the only way to get into heaven? And he refuses to give an answer. Well, Mr. Preacher, if somehow by some miracle you happen to hear this message, you will give an answer. Whether you wanted to give one to the reporter or not, you will give an answer. It's much easier to answer the reporter than to answer God. But every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, and everyone shall stand before the Lord. And if you are saved, by the grace of God you are, I certainly hope you are, but if you are saved, the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, is where you will be giving your answers, and you cannot avoid it. I would much rather deal with it now. To me, answering God is far scarier than answering any person. I'd much rather tell you something you don't want to hear than something I'm not going to want to say to God when I don't have the options. Why is it like that? I don't know what his personal motive is, but I think in some cases where this kind of thing happens, it's because of fear of rejection or wanting to be somehow accepted by certain groups, maybe fear of offending people. God forbid people be offended in this society. It's all a crisis of maturity. And you know what? We're even finding it at times in the churches. Because there's a lack of the character of God. Why are the pulpits softening like that? Because the Bible colleges and the seminaries are softening like that also. And that is not a new phenomenon. Schools that are very liberal now, that are actually even hostile to Christians and to God, started out as seminaries and Bible colleges. And now they're very hostile. That trend is not done. One of the most reputable Bible colleges in the country won't even go out and soul win. And people who've come from that Bible college say that the professors will go out after class and have a beer and talk about the Bible. Wow. There's a crisis of maturity. It's a crisis of maturity. In Hebrews 6:1, the Word of God says, "Let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ, the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity." Let us go on and get past the elementary stage. Let's get past the elementary stage. In this age, it's harder and harder to do. Paul told Timothy that in these days that we're living in now, men will not tolerate sound doctrine. They'll heap unto themselves teachers because they have itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to go beyond the elementary stage. Sometimes you have people who don't want to go beyond Jesus loves you. Yes, everybody needs that. That is foundational. But the fact that that is foundational does not mean that that is also the complete message. It's like saying to a person, stay your whole life on mother's milk. Wouldn't that be actually kind of a sick thought? Stay your whole life on mother's milk? And yet sometimes this is what we find, even in the church. And I'm not trying to indict the church. The church is our only hope. But yet at the same time, if we don't correct what is going on with an attitude of love, then our only hope is going to disappear. Paul says, let's go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrines of Christ. Let's go beyond just the elementary teaching. Let's go beyond the Jesus is the way to salvation. Let's go beyond that. Let's go beyond God is gracious and merciful, and I'm not trying to demean that in any way. It is foundational. But it's not the whole story. Let's get beyond that which is elementary. Let's go to that which is advanced. Let's go to how to live with God in specifics and in precision and in truth and in the Word of God with conviction regarding the full counsel of God. With conviction regarding mercy as well as conviction regarding sin. With conviction regarding thinking correctly. With conviction regarding not being self-oriented, not being self-indulgent. With conviction about not giving place to the devil in our lives. Let's be advanced in our thinking as an adult would be advanced in their thinking. Yet all too often we desire to stay as children. Philippians continues there in verse 15. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. Let us have this mind, this is in the Amplified this time, and hold these convictions. And continuing in verse 16, only let us hold true to what we have already attained and walk in order our lives by that. Let's walk in order our lives by the fullness of doctrine. Let's walk in order our lives by the character of God. Yes, we need to order our lives by God is merciful. God is gracious. God is kind. God is patient. God is gentle. God is compassionate. Yes, we need to order our lives. But let's also order our lives with precision. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Let's also order our lives regarding what is right before God. How to think correctly, how to walk correctly. Let's order our lives in how to make the right decisions, whether we want to make those decisions in our flesh or not. Let's order our lives in precision with God. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. How often do we live in the childish things? How often do we live in our anxieties, our fears? How often do we live in our moods and our emotions? How often do we live in our preferences? And when I say we live in them, I don't mean just quietly we go. No, we make them known. And sometimes we not just make them know, we insist on them. And if we don't get our way, we get very ugly about it. And this can happen on a cultural level, like what's going on in the colleges or with those precious people who got shot on that ball field. Or what happened to that Congress lady in Arizona several years ago. It's all the same thing. You see, what is it that we feel that we are so important and so necessary that we are willing to do these stupid, violent, or unkind, or start yelling at people, or losing our temper, or start being people who are aggressive in our disposition, controlling? And yet, this is exactly how our culture is going, and this is exactly how individuals in our culture are going. Talk to young people and so many of them, thank God, not all of them, but so many of them are arrogant and disrespectful. And the reason isn't because they have something going on. The reason is because they are immature and have nothing going on except their own little petty small selves. And they think because they have an opinion that they've got it all figured out. When in truth, they are absolutely clueless as to what reality actually is. But this is even encouraged in our society, in our schools. People don't come to this alone. This is actually encouraged. And it's a generational problem. We need to put away childish things. Don't be in your 40s, 50s, 60s and still act like a child. Because if you do, something's wrong. You know why they call it Sweet 16? There's a reason why it's called Sweet 16. It's a famous one, right? Sweet 16, 16th birthday. Sweet 16 got its name because that's when adolescent egocentrism used to be frequently abandoned by young people and they became sweet again. And so it got the term Sweet 16. They stopped being selfish. They stopped being reactionary. They stopped being disrespectful. They stopped being moody at 16. Nowadays, too many people never even get past that point their entire lives. I remember when I was working on my master's, I took a class in human development. And the professor described adolescent egocentrism. Basically, that means adolescent self-centeredness. And she described it in scientific terms. And I thought to myself, I know several people like that who are supposed to have been adults for decades now. And I asked her, is it possible to get stuck in that? And she said, absolutely. You see, the way that you get beyond that, traditionally, is the influence of mature parents. And when mature parents are lacking, adolescent egocentrism, in some cases, is never overcome. That was the professor's answer. Where does that maturity come from? Putting away childish things. We have to put away childish things. If I'm a man, I need to put away childish things. If I am a grown woman, I need to put away childish things. They don't further you in life, they hamper you. We put away childish things. Now this is how it works. In order to be mature, I need two things. The first one is the cross of Christ. The Word of God produces that in me. The cross of Christ is the only pathway to so many things, but definitely it is the only pathway to maturity. If I don't have a living cross in my life, where it's Christ's life and not mine, I will be 100% guaranteed an immature individual, and I don't care how old the person is. Chronology has very little to do with actual maturity, especially once a person has passed that 16th year. And the eyes of them were opened in Genesis 3:7, and they knew that they were naked and sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, here you had a situation where these two people that God created, and they had fellowship with God and they had fellowship with angels. And these two people who were actually quite mature, they were quite well established in their thinking, They were well-rooted people. They were well-adjusted. These people had it going on. They did not bicker. They did not get moody. They did not get violent. They did not get angry. They did not have these kind of problems because they were not self-oriented. And then something happens. Satan comes and introduces, in order to effect the call, he introduces self-orientation. He does it by getting Eve to think with something outside of the Word of God. The Word of God says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. He was very clever and crafty. And he said to the woman in the original language, "Does it make any sense that you can eat of any tree in the garden but not the tree of knowledge of good and evil?" And of course he wanted her to eat from that tree because that was his tree. Satan's tree, Ezekiel 31:18. So what does he do to get her to do this? He gets her to walk away from having the mind of Christ and to start evaluating with natural thinking by sight, with natural reasoning. The effect of this was on many different levels. One of the huge effects that this had is that when she ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, she became immature. Think about the very next thing that took place. She gave the fruit to Adam and she wanted him to join her in what was outside of the definition of God. That is exactly what someone who is very immature does. They will absolutely insist on you seeing things their way, you doing things their way, and if you do not do them, and if you do not do things their way, they can't handle it. Eve absolutely insisted that Adam eat the fruit. And because Adam wanted to be one with his wife, he went along with it. She entered into immaturity and he followed right into immaturity after her. And then what happened? Then they became separated. Not from each other per se, but in their thinking. She was naked, he was naked, they saw they were naked, and now they had to do something about it. It had never been a problem when maturity was present and self-orientation was absent. The way that they were created was perfectly acceptable to them as long as they were thinking with God. But they lost that sense of maturity. And of all things, all of a sudden, naked is the issue. Why wasn't it hair color? Eve, you have longer hair and I have shorter hair. Why wasn't it something totally different? Why was it, we're not trees and yet we're among the trees? We're not angels and yet we're among the angels? No, it was one toward the other. That is an extremely immature response. Immaturity always breeds disunity. Because immaturity is extraordinarily intolerant in its self-orientation. That is the nature of self-orientation. And so they hide themselves. It leads to things like insecurity and fear, anxiety. These are all manifestations, symptoms of immaturity. But the Word of God tells us in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. This is the other thing, the second thing that is needed for maturity. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. Grow in God's way of doing things. Grow in God's unmerited favor, absolutely, yes. Grow in His kindness, yes, absolutely, grow in His kindness. But also, in Hebrews 4:16, grow in His government of grace. Grow in all that grace is. And grow in categorical doctrine. Not just the elementary stage in the teachings, but in the full counsel of the Word of God. Grow in it. Grow in it. In Colossians 1:28, the Word of God says, Him we preach and proclaim, warning and admonishing everyone and instructing everyone in all wisdom, comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, that we may present every person mature, full grown, fully initiated, complete and perfect in Christ. Instruction for the sake of maturity. This is why Proverbs says that the fool despises instruction. Have you ever met somebody, if you corrected them, they'll be angry at you? If you try to teach them something they didn't know, they have a very defensive response, and they get mad at you for it. They may not say anything, but you can tell. Well, that person has a maturity issue. And their maturity issue comes from the fact that they are self-oriented. They need to get out of that. And people will say, how do I get out of it? And often the people who say that are the people who rather not get out of it. The answer is simply, you decide. You decide what you indulge. It's always how it works. A moody person must indulge their moods and their emotions. An angry person must indulge their irritations and their mentality. A jealous person has to indulge their insecurities. You decide what you indulge. Well, the Word of God defines for you what to indulge and what not to. You mix faith with it in Hebrews 14. And in Romans 10:17, you can grow in that faith through the Word. But it's really your decision. The reason why a fully mature adult is necessary to bring up a person to adulthood is because a mature adult will not allow the wrong indulgences. They will not allow a child to be bratty, to indulge their emotions or opinions. They will bring in things like enforced humility through love and discipline in proper measure, in proper balance. You see, without that, a person cannot mature. And so if a person comes to Christ and they are immature, then God will offer them the same thing. And God will offer them opportunities through the Word of God to grow up into full maturity. But they have to mix faith with the Word of God in order for it to profit them. But if they do mix faith with it, it will always profit them. It will always increase them. It will always cause them to grow. And then to work that in Romans 5, 3-5, He'll bring those tribulations. And in verse 4 in the Amplified, it says, an endurance, which the King James defines as experience. Fortitude develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Tribulations, difficult times, testings, not all the time, but seasons of these things, are required for someone to grow, to mature, to develop to adulthood. These are absolutely required. Once in a while, I run across someone with children who will absolutely protect their children from hardship, from challenges. Something happens and they're trying to protect their child's emotions. Something happens and they don't want their child to have to go through anything difficult. And they think that is love, but it is not. It is sentimentality, which is void of love. Love would allow that child to go through it. Just like God says in Revelation 3, I chasten the ones I love. And God does that to us too. He teaches maturity, He teaches humility, and He does it through tribulations. Because in tribulations, we develop into maturity. The person who absolutely rejects tribulations works very hard to avoid any kind of a challenge. We'll never grow up. We need these things. We need things that will build our character with God. We need things that teach us how to trust Him. We need to see Him come through for us in difficult times when sight is not present. We need these things. It doesn't matter how old a person is, young or old, it makes no difference. David didn't become fully mature, arguably, until after what happened with Absalom. Because only after Absalom did David start manifesting the full character of God. The young men threw rocks at him, and his soldiers said to him, "Shall we go kill them?" He said, "Leave them alone. Maybe God sent them." Only after Absalom did David enter into that sort of humility that produces that sort of character. We don't like the tribulations because we relate to them according to our emotions. But that too is a lack of maturity. That too is something that God teaches us. That's why in the Psalms David says, "Try my reins. Try my emotions, God." Because he knew very well that if his emotions responded properly, it was only because he was responding to God. And he knew at that point that he learned to respond to God. In Matthew 19:21, the Word of God says, Jesus answered the rich young ruler, "If you would be perfect," that is, have that spiritual maturity which accompanies self-sacrificing character, "go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven, and come be my disciple." If I'm not willing to do without, if I have to have what I have to have, if I have to have things just so, then I have an issue with maturity. The problem with that, though, is an immature person will never enter into the fullness of discipleship. An immature person will never enter into manifesting the love of God, which defines that discipleship. We've got to learn how to be adults. And again, I don't care if you're 10 or 80. We need to learn how to be adults. It only comes through the Word of God. It only comes through the cross. If pulpits are getting weaker, then the congregation is getting more and more immature. This is why everyone, absolutely everyone, needs to be under a pulpit that preaches the Word of God richly. And if it isn't in your area, then find one somewhere else. And you may say, that's not convenient. You may say, my kids and their school. You may say, my job. You may say, my house. And I say to you that you are concerned about things that last only a short season versus things that are eternal. It's time for us Christians to grow into full maturity, the fullness of the character of God. And it only comes through the richness of the Word and the inworking of the cross. The upside is, that's also where we find fullness of joy. Immature people are usually very miserable. And those who are mature often have great contentment no matter what their condition. Amen?